disciples. It was the last time he had supper before his death, and it was also the last necessary Passover supper. Because going forward, we call it the Lord's Supper, and it is an ordinance. It's something that's given to us by Christ. It was ordained of him and commanded that we partake of. It doesn't command how often we partake of it, but it says as often. Okay, it's our choice. We choose to do it twice a year. If a church chose to do it more than that or even less than that, that would be their prerogative. It's not, he doesn't dictate or declare exactly how often it should be done. But it's the Lord's Supper. There's no need of a lamb to be sacrificed anymore. We know that because Christ was the Lamb of God. He was sacrificed once and for all, just a final sacrifice that was take care of and atone for the sins of the world for good, okay? The Passover, each year, they would normally, one of the parts of the feast week was to sprinkle blood on the doorpost of their house, and this was a commemoration reminding them of what had taken place back in Egypt when they left there from the bondage of Egypt the night before their exodus. If you'll remember, they were instructed to put blood on the doorpost. They were sacrificed a lamb, put blood on the doorpost, and then the death angel knew to pass over that particular house and not take the firstborn of that house because the proper sacrifice had been made, okay? And so that symbolic gesture is no longer needed because Christ Jesus, we've received his blood, the power of his blood, and the cleansing effects of that. And so going forward from that night on, this same meal that we're reading about becomes, it's still a commemoration, but it's not a commemoration of the Passover. It's not a commemoration of being brought out of bondage of Egypt, but rather it's a commemoration of what Jesus has done for you and I. That's what it serves as. And so we look at it that way. We're told to do it. It's an ordinance, and we're told to do it in remembrance of him. Now, we're going to read our text in 1 Corinthians 11 in just a moment. But the bread, of course, is symbolic of the body of Christ given in death for you and I, okay? The wine or juice, fruit of the vine, is symbolic of his blood that was shed for our sins. There's no need to mystify this as we partake of it and somehow think that the bread and the juice possess some kind of power or anything like that. The ordinance is symbolic. Simply that bread or that juice could have went to something else. It could have been a morning drink at breakfast. It's symbolic, okay, if we understand that. And the elements just represent those two things, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And it reminds us of the covenant that we have through Christ. On the other hand, obviously we don't want to mystify the situation, but we also don't want to devalue the supper and in any way thinking that it's not a big deal or somehow minimizing its importance. It's very important. It's a serious time. It's a somber time, but it's also a joyous time. I mean, it's not a time of laughter and anything of that nature, but it is a time of rejoicing over what Christ has done for us, okay? So there's no harm in taking joy and participating in this as well. It's a significant event that is commanded for us to observe, and that's what we're going to do. Now, with that, we will turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and before we go any further, let me just begin in verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in me, do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come," okay? Each time you do it, it's a remembrance of his death until he returns. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if a man hungry, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Of course, he was writing a letter, and so he's not in the presence of them. When he didn't say these words, he had written these words to him, and he says, until I come and see you. So with that being said, we get to the one part when we talk in verse 28 about examination. The Apostle Paul talks about partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, okay? It's not saying that we're unworthy, because through Christ, none of us are worthy of what we have, our relationship with God, but through Christ we're made worthy, okay? But he's speaking of participating in an unworthy manner. In other words, we've talked about this before, but I will remind you, or perhaps you need to teach this to your children and help them to understand. First of all, we would need to be born again believers. Second of all, we would have needed to be baptized born again believers. Why? Because baptism is an ordinance as well, and we're commanded to be baptized. And so to not be baptized would be acting in disobedience, okay? Furthermore, it would be doing so in an unworthy manner if you and I had sin in our life, known sin, that we were not willing to deal with. We were in rebellion. We had something that God had shown us in our heart that needed to be tended to, and we didn't do it. That would be to be not in a position, not in the right spiritual state, if you will, to be participating in something so important and so special. And so with that, Paul says, let every man examine himself. We're going to take just a few moments and just take some time. There won't be piano playing. These ladies will have the same opportunity you and I will have to just pray and ask God, hey, search my heart, Lord. And if there's something that I don't know in my life that's not right, show me so I can confess that to you, so I can repent of that. Make sure that our hearts and our spiritual state is such that we would partake of this in an unworthy manner. We don't police this. We don't walk up and down the aisles and say who and who can't participate in this. And it's up to each person to make sure that they're prepared for that. I read many times over through the years, I've read different pastors' takes on this particular ordinance, and it's pretty unanimous in most cases. But Criswell, W.A. Criswell, has a statement that he shared about his young life, and I agree with him totally, that when he was young, in the church that he was at was had very strict approach to the Lord's Supper, and so what would happen when they would partake of it was the pastor would say, all of those of you who are saved and baptized and your heart is right before the Lord, you stand, and the rest of you remain seated. And then they would serve those who stood. Even in some case, he said, they would divide the church. One would move to one side and the others to the other. And he said this statement. He said, I always walked away from there as a kid, even knowing that was wrong. Let the Holy Spirit speak to people. We bring the Word of God. I've just brought to you. Let the Holy Spirit tell you whether you can partake of this or not. It's not my job, okay? And so I appreciate Criswell's take on that. With that being said, we're going to take just a few moments here and have a word of a silent time of examination. You're welcome to come at the altar. You can pray right where you are and seek God yourself right in your pew. And in just a few moments, after adequate time has been taken, I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll begin to serve the supper.